Hello there, my name is Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, Tesla recently had its AI day, where it talked about all the things it's trying to do, particularly for self-driving cars, for automotive, and then what that means for its own tools that it has to develop, and then some interesting looks at the possibility of the future, robots and so on. Now, during all of that, it announced its new D1 chip, and there'll be quite a bit of fuss about it. I really want to talk about what it is, what it means, all the technical specifications, they'll come up on the screen as we're going along, but really, what is the D1 chip? Why is it important? Why are people even talking about it? Well, if you want to find out more, please, let me explain. Now, of course, Tesla are very famous for its range of electric cars. And one of the things it's trying to do with electric cars is to turn them into autonomous self-driving cars. And that means it needs to play around with machine learning and push the boundaries of artificial intelligence, particularly because obviously in an outdoor situation, not only have you got to follow the lane, I mean, I've got a video here on this channel where I drove a Tesla and tested out some of its early autopilot functions, and it's brilliant. You know, it can stay in the lane and it can brake when the car in front brakes and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, Tesla have got great plans for what it wants in the future. So you've got traffic lights and pedestrians, and you've got dogs running across the road, and you've got, you know, what's happening at junctions and bicycles and buses and cars and trucks. There's a whole bunch of things that go on, and Tesla are looking to develop the self-driving part of its of the Tesla cars so that it can cope with that. Now, machine learning has two very distinctive phases. Now, we talk a lot about the second phase, which is inference. So when we talk about smartphones, for example, when we talk about the Google Tensor chip, when we talk about what the capabilities are of computational photography today on our smartphones, we're like inference. Can you point your camera at something and it says, oh, look, that's a dog, that's a person, that's a landscape, and it realizes what it is. It does object detection. That's inference. What that basically means is you take a trained neural network. It's already been set up, it already recognizes certain things. You present it with some new data that it hasn't seen before, and it infers, it guesses, it logically looks at what's there according to the training data it has, and then says, yes, that's a dog. It's never seen my dog before, but it recognizes it's a dog because it's seen thousands and thousands of other pictures of dogs previously before that. That's called inference. Now, we want inference to run very, very well on all of our devices, on our smartphones, in cameras, in cars, in anything that's going to have any kind of visual or audio input. Inference is very, very important. The other part of it, of course, is training. That's when you start with the kind of blank neural network. It's specialized, of course, at that point already. But when you start with this blank piece of paper and you want to train it so that it can recognize a dog, or of course, as we get into advanced levels of machine learning, it can recognize pedestrians and cyclists and lorries and trucks and people, traffic lights and intersections and all this kind of stuff. So you need to present it with hours and hours and thousands and millions of examples of those things so that it can start to learn what they are and start to learn about how they work. Now, that is really, really computing intensive. Inference is relatively easy because you say, here's the input, run it through this network, yes or no, dog or cat, you know, pedestrian or cyclist. It's relatively simple, but the training part is absolutely compute intensive. Now, up until now, a lot of the data centers around the world that are doing training are built using GPUs. So traditionally, GPUs from Nvidia seem to have carved their way into this market, and they build big servers with lots and lots of GPUs per node. And then, of course, each of those GPUs has many, many CUDA cores, and they are used then for training the neural network. And in fact, Tesla talked about how their current setup is using this big sort of kind of supercomputer with all these GPU cores built into it. And when you look at some of the stuff that Tesla are trying to achieve through machine learning, you can see that actually they're going to need better systems for training. So, for example, they're now at the stage where they are not just taking a single frame a photo effectively and saying, right, can you spot the cyclist? Can you spot the truck? Can you spot the intersection? It's using camera input from multiple cameras in video at the same time. So as a truck goes past, you can see it behind, you can see it next to the car, and you can see it going in front of the car. And the neural net understands that a truck has just gone past it, or you've just gone past a truck. And so that has to be able to take multiple camera inputs and then translate that into what they're calling vector space, which is the idea of what things look like logically, not what they look like, you know, just pixels on a screen, but logically, right, there's a car there, there's an intersection there, there's a turning over, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, to achieve that from multiple cameras, they really need some advanced training. So a few years ago, they started this Dojo project. Now, Dojo, of course, is the key thing to understand this. Dojo is where you do training. So it's not a chip that you're going to find in a car. It's not a chip you're going to find in a smartphone. It's the chip that they have in the data center for training all their modules, because Dojo is where you do the training. It's not, and then you go out into the real world to do whatever it is you've been training for. So the new D1 chip is a custom chip built by Tesla specifically for training machine learning neural networks. And because it's a custom chip specifically designed for that, it's not like a normal CPU or a GPU. No, it can't play Crysis. No, it can't run Android or Linux or something like that. Of course, there are things around it that you need to be able to have ways of getting tools in there. You need to be able to get ways of running things and talking to it and disks and all this kind of stuff. But the actual training node, as they call it, is just specifically for doing machine learning. And although it's a CPU in the traditional sense, and it takes instructions, it decodes them, executes them, and does something with the registers, actually the CPU instructions are very, very much geared towards machine learning, statistical analysis, matrices operations. So they're even talking about things, you know, there are operations to do broadcast and gather, which is the kind of things you have in kind of distributed computing. And they're doing that in the hardware as an instruction or a set of instructions. So it's not just your kind of, you know, you add, you multiply, you divide, you branch, you compare, as you would get in the traditional CPU. It's actually got hardware instructions designed specifically for doing machine learning, the training part of machine learning, and doing that in hardware. Then once you have these training nodes, and you could try and draw a parallel between, let's say, a CUDA core or an NVIDIA GPU and the training node, rough parallel in the idea. It's an autonomous thing that can run its own program, has its own RAM, and can interact with the world around it. They take 354 of those and then put that onto a single chip. We include all of the I/O, how you connect over different things to talk to different things in a system, because we're talking ultimately there'll be a big computer system, so it needs to be able to talk to the real world. And then you can take 25 of those and then put it onto a tile. And then those tiles are actually built in such a way that it's got power, it's got a heat sink, it's got all the connections it needs, and it's a combined single module that can then be built together in a cabinet with other tiles to ultimately produce a supercomputer built for machine learning, for the training part of machine learning. When they put all these tiles together in a cabinet, it builds you a thing called an exapod that offers an exaflop of performance. That's floating point operations. Of course, even here, of course, there are differences between 8-bit floating point operations, 32-bit floating point operations. So there are some numbers floating around that different people are analyzing. But at the end of the day, it's this very, very big supercomputer which offers all these tiles built together for Tesla to run its machine learning. So what does that mean for consumers today? Well, not a lot at the moment, because our laptops and tablets and our phones will all continue to emphasize the idea of inference and a good inference engine in the hardware. For consumer products, and in terms of, you know, a Tesla car, then in the future, of course, there will be better, improved or autopilot functions, self-driving functions. And then ultimately, it shows that the machine learning really is diverging into two key areas. One is, of course, training and the hardware needed, specialist hardware needed for the training. And the other is the inference and the specialist hardware needed for the inference. One is the consumer side and one is the producer's, the side, the manufacturer's side of the particular products. At the moment, as I said, GPUs were really filling that gap inside of the machine learning, the training part of it. However, now we're seeing hardware that's being released, and if Tesla are doing this, you can pretty much guarantee that someone else somewhere is also working on it. So maybe GPUs are not going to be as significant in the data center for training as we thought they might be, because now there are alternatives coming out that are more specialized, better at performance, better at efficiency, that allow greater, more complex models to be trained. Okay, so that's it. That's the D1 chip, the dojo where the training happens, and that's from Tesla, which Tesla will use to build the self-driving cars that it's trying to, self-driving software that's putting into its Tesla cars. Okay, that's it. My name's Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. I hope you're following me on Twitter at Gary Explains. And also, I have a newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address. No spam, just a newsletter. And I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.